We are talking today with Oklahoma's 3rd Congressional District Congressman, Congressman Frank Lucas, former chairman, of course, of the House Agriculture Committee. And even as we speak, Congressman, your former committee is working on this Cattle Contract Library of 2021 bill. I'm sure they're going to report it out successfully. How did this measure come together? I know that you've worked with some other members, including Dusty Johnson, on this legislation.
This is one of the pieces to try and bring more transparency to the process, so that everyone who's engaged in the beef cattle markets can have an accurate understanding of what's going on, to be able to defend themselves in their marketing decisions, so that consumers can have some confidence in what's going on. This actually is a continuing process that started really with Ernst after the Holcomb fire back in 2019, and then the disruptions that caused to the market. You remember the collapse in live cattle prices, the price of meat in the counter at the grocery store going through the ceiling. Then when we got into the COVID year of 2020, or literally, as I like to call it, the last year and a half of lost time, we went through the same gyrations again when live cattle prices collapsed, and the product in the grocery store and in the restaurants, what few restaurants were open, exploded through the roof. So how do you address that? USDA, in response to a number of us in Congress, did their study and their report, and they called for a variety of things, such as creating this cattle contract library so that we'd know what was going on. By the way, Ron, this is something that the pork people have been doing for a while now. So it's not like we're creating something brand new from scratch. We're just expanding from the pork industry over into the cattle industry, what has helped. We're at a point in time where we are still waiting on the Department of Justice to finish their antitrust, their anti-monopoly investigations. I keep hoping every day that they'll be sped up. There was criticism in the previous administration, perhaps that they were not moving fast enough, but in this administration, the number three person at Justice Department has made it very clear that this is important to them. So I'm waiting for results there. Bottom line is, I and my fellow producers have had a wild and crazy last few years for a variety of reasons, and we've got to work our way through it. And if there are problems in the marketing system, such as we're trying to address with a piece of that with this cattle contract library, then Justice needs to acknowledge it. USDA has to tell us what it takes to enforce what Justice needs done, and we'll respond legislatively. But we've got to understand the problem, and we've got to have real fixes that we can move forward on.
What is your hopes? In other words, how will this contract library help an average cattle producer?
Like the pork people, this will be a central repository of the terms and conditions of the deals that are made. It will be easier for us to verify that there are no sweetheart arrangements. There's no potential collusion going on. This just provides another reference source. And in the bill, there's authorizing language to provide money for our universities and the nonprofit associations, think of the trade groups, to utilize this information to get it out to producers so they can work with it in making their decisions. It's just, again, a piece in the puzzle of trying to address a problem that is obviously there.
We've got obvious problems right now, and we're hearing, of course, the Biden administration has been trying to respond as best they can, I guess, regarding all the craziness on the supply chain right now. Obviously, with the supply chain within the beef industry is a problem, labor a big issue with our packing plants. But then we've got the ships sitting out waiting to get into Long Beach. This is a huge mess right now.
Absolutely, Ron. And it's not just our products going out. It's products coming in. It's everything from fertilizer and chemicals on down. We have some structural problems. Long Beach is not the most efficient port, even if it is the biggest port in the United States. Clearly, we have to have more facilities than that. I think of Houston, think of New Orleans, think of a number of other ports on the Atlantic side, the Gulf side, and we need to expand those. There are questions being asked here, and the administration's very hesitant. very hesitant because of very close to organized labor, very hesitant to answer questions about just how efficient is the technology and the way those issues are being handled. And it just comes back to the disruption of COVID-19. And if anyone's driven up and down the roads in the 3rd District of Oklahoma, you'll know that there are signs everywhere from restaurants on down, people seeking employment. I had one sign in front of an establishment in my district not many weeks ago that didn't offer a food special. It simply said, "Are you out of stimulus money yet?" Next sign, "If so, apply for a job inside right now." So we've got some things that are carryovers from the COVID-19 that have got to be addressed. Mm-hmm. A lot of the extra stimulus money is in the process of expiring that helped get us through COVID-19. We've now got vaccines and we're building herd immunity and we're addressing all these issues, but we've got to get the economy back to rolling again. We've got to go back to work. We've got to make things move forward. And it's just a challenge. And like the ports on the East and West Coast, once you start backing up those ships, all those cargo containers, it takes a while to work through that. And the railroads are running at full capacity. My trucking companies tell me that they desperately need drivers in Oklahoma, big and small alike. But you've got to have a CDL license. You've got to be 21 years old. I mean, there are all sorts of requirements there. We've got some structural things we've got to address. But hopefully there is a light at the end of the tunnel if we'll keep moving forward.
Let's talk about a couple things. Obviously, inside the Washington Beltway, it's a fascinating place, you tell me right now. A couple things I thought we might address. One is this whole regulatory zeal of the Biden administration. Boy, they're wanting to stack regulations across the board, whether it's environmental, financial, you name it.
Ron, whether it's reimposing the Waters of the USA rule or aggressively pursuing the Endangered Species Act, I think of prairie chickens in our own state of Oklahoma. I think of the Waters of the U.S. basically was an effort in the Obama administration that we thought we had brought to an end in the Trump administration. Basically what Obama wanted to do and now President Biden wants to do is give the federal government, the EPA, full control from the time the waters fall out of the heavens until they make it to the Atlantic or the Pacific. A dramatic power grab that's out there. But it's not just environmental issues. The ongoing discussion on the other side, and they're not publicly discussing it, but they're in the initial Biden proposal was a requirement that financial institutions have to report to the Treasury after an individual deposits or takes $600 out of their bank account in a year. Now, $600, I have watched $600 carts at Walmart in front of me. That's not that much money anymore if you've got a family you're feeding or taking care of. Now they say, well, maybe the $600 number, it's alleged, was too small. Let's just say once you spend or deposit $10,000 a year, and by my math that means $200 a week, then suddenly the bank has to report all this stuff to the federal government. They say they're going to chase down tax cheaters. I would suggest to you it is an effort for the federal government to know everything about everyone's finances. Ask your local banker about how complicated it will be to transmit that information. It'll have to be done daily. And what in the world is the Treasury going to do with this? How are they going to process this? So it's into that level of things. It is as though the progressives, that ultra-liberal wing of the Democratic Party in the United States House of Representatives, is providing guidance to the Biden administration how to do everything. They don't trust the market economy. They don't believe in the concepts of individual responsibility. Literally, they have faith that the federal government can make every decision for everyone better than you or I or our neighbors can make that decision, which I categorically refute, but that's where they're headed. I suspect this is like Obamacare in 2009 and 10 and Dodd-Frank, the big financial regulation bill. Speaker Pelosi will turn the control of Congress back to us after the next election, but that's a year and something away. how much damage can be done in a year. That's what I'm unnerved about. Even though they seem to be having difficulty moving their agenda, they've not stopped trying.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a magic date, December 3rd. It seems to be where the drama's heading as far as tax policy, spending policy, regulations, all of it coming together.
Absolutely, Ron. There's a habit that's developed amongst senior leadership in this town of waiting till the last minute to do everything and to try and put as many pieces on the line as possible in the theory of forcing big, bold action. We were supposed to fund the federal government for the new bookkeeping year on October 1. The majority missed that. So that's now government's temporarily funded till December 3. A few days ago, we had the body passed a debt extension increase, allowing the national debt to dramatically go up until December 3. So all these pieces have come together. I would predict, for what little predictions are worth in this town, that on the third day of December, suddenly Speaker Pelosi and Majority Leader in the Senate, Mr. Schumer, and the President will agree to 14 more days. So they'll take us to December 17. They'll get us right up on Christmas when the ability to cover the government checks, to pay the bills, to do all the services that are required will come up on a potential government closure. They'll roll all of that in with their, will it be $3.5 trillion? Will it be $2.5 trillion? Will it be $1.5 trillion? Their multi-trillion dollar big expansion of government, and they'll try and slam it through all at once. This will be a vote where no one on my side of the room will vote for it. They'll have to drive it all by themselves. But oh my goodness, how much pressure is Speaker Pelosi putting her fellow Democrats under to get her way as a what I believe to be a lame duck speaker?
So, you know, at this point for agriculture, what do we need to be paying most attention to all that drama?
Number one, thank goodness the current farm bill doesn't expire till 2023. Thank goodness. That will get us past this election. Number two, depending on how the administration, what number they finally come up with for their giant multi-trillion dollar package, they're somewhere in the range of around $25 or $35 billion additional money allegedly that will go to conservation. But they've never given any details, and they've only used a number. You know that I am old school. I believe in locally led, voluntary, cost share conservation practices, whether it's dams and dam rehab or just the equip practices on your farm. If there's going to be new conservation money, and there are legitimate reasons to spend money on more money on preserving the soil, the water, than the air, we have to make sure that it is not provided in such a way that we lose control of our farms, that we lose control of the soil and the water and the air that we tend so carefully. That's one of the things we have to watch really closely. Now, these other efforts, like today dealing with the beef contract library, that's straightforward enough. Those pieces of legislation will move through. I'm comfortable with that. But some of this other stuff, making sure we don't lose control of our farms, that's what we have to be ever so careful about between now and the end of the year or the package of this behemoth, the passage of this behemoth, if, again, Speaker Pelosi, Ranking Member Schumer, and President Biden can get it done.
I guess what that does obviously include that generational transfer, in other words, estate taxes and the like. That's all up for grabs.
It's all up for grabs. They are talking about, you hear different accounts in recent days over what's in or out of the package, but they're talking about not just raising corporate income tax rates. They're talking about individual income tax rates. They're talking about, if not an official death tax and inheritance tax, messing with how the basis is calculated on transferring assets from one generation to the other. So it in effect becomes a death tax by a different name. All of those things are on the plate. They've got to raise a lot of revenue if they're going to cover the things they want to spend. And right now the progressives are screaming that $1.5 trillion is not enough, $2.5 trillion is not enough. They need $3.5 trillion in new spending. Ron, that's a lot of money.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas talking with us from his office in our nation's capital. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.